All right, got to get used to this pulpit off to the side thing. That was a beautiful song, wasn't it? Just to sing that together. You guys sounded good tonight. Well, the best thing about these evenings are the testimonies of the baptismal candidates themselves. So I'm not going to give my usual long message. Cut it from 50 minutes down to 45, something like that. Now, just a few thoughts about baptism, because baptism is like not really understood, and it's supposed to be. Like the word baptize, where does that come from? It actually means to dunk. The word is not a translation, but what we call transliteration, just brought from one language into the other. The word baptize is from the Greek language, the Koine Greek language, and it means to really dunk. There was a word bapto, which meant to dip, and then there was an intensive word baptizo, and it meant to really dunk. And so how all the sprinkling and pouring and everything got started in church history, well, all is forgiven, but that's not what it means. So there's an important symbolism in the dunking. And I grew up in a church where they didn't dunk. It's not, you know, the biggest deal in the world, but it does lose a little bit of the flavor of the symbolism when we're not dunked. See, when you go down in the water, it's a picture of something that's happened to you. It's a picture of something that's supposed to already have happened to you, not you're hoping it'll happen to you in the future. It's a picture like you were born with the life that your parents gave you, and then when you come to believe in Jesus, you realize that that old life that you had was a sinful life, and it's not good enough to fit you for a home in heaven. It's just not good enough. We have sin in our lives, and God is perfectly holy. And so you recognize you can't fix up the old life. The old life has to go. So you are admitting when you come to Jesus, wow, my life's not good enough. I need a new life. And so the baptism symbolizes that there you are standing in the water, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to do it, right? Dunk them all the way down. Here, some of the dads are going to be involved in this tonight, too. Dunk them all the way down to show that their old life is gone. They're dead now and buried, in a sense. And then we don't leave them under. First of all, they drown. And second of all, because Christ didn't stay dead in the tomb. When he died, dying for us, he was put in a tomb for 3 days. I don't know if we count 3 seconds or whatever, but he went down for 3 days, and he promised that he would be raised from the dead. He said that no man can take my life away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. And so he laid his life down because nobody could take it from him, and he brought himself back to life. The Bible says that he had power over death and life. And so Jesus the Jew, who's also God's son, brought himself back to life. And so we bring them back up out of the water because they're raised to a new life. They now have a new life. They have new spiritual life. Now, the symbol's no good if that hasn't happened to you. You're supposed to have a credible profession of faith in Jesus, that Jesus really has come into your life, given you a new life, and you're ready to follow him in that new life. Not a perfect life. When we have white robes on, you know, it's like perfect and holy, but we know if there's anything holy and good and righteous about us now, it's not because of us, it's because of something Jesus gave to us. And he's so generous in giving in his grace. So we wear the white robes to show he's the one that's really done that for us, right? And these guys are going to give their testimony about that. But just a couple more words about baptism besides the symbolism there. Some think that baptism is optional. I think today when, you know, church and religion and ceremonies get to be kind of minimized, people think, well, I could just believe in God, believe in Jesus, do my own thing and not be baptized. But hey, we call Jesus Lord. There's a reason why we call him Lord, because he's the one in authority to tell us how to live. And he gave the command that everyone that would believe in him would have a water baptism. Water baptism can't save anybody. There's nothing special about that water or any water, any pastor uses in any church anywhere in the world. They may think there's something special about it. They may feel there's something special about it, but it's just H2O. The power is never meant to be in the water. The power was not in the Jordan River when John the Baptist was baptizing the Jews. The power is not in the water. The water is a symbol. But Jesus said, I'm commanding you to do this as your first act of obedience to show that you are a believer. And the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the day really the church was born, he said, It says when they heard Peter's conclusion to his sermon, they were pierced to the heart because of their sin. They'd crucified Jesus, and they just now are realizing how terrible that was. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent," which is a way of meaning turning away from your sins and believing in Jesus, "and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Again, not the water that washes the sins away, but that act of obedience shows your faith in Jesus is real and Jesus washes away sins. Other people think it's an outdated religious tradition, but the Bible is still God's word and the church age has not ended. It won't end until Jesus comes back to take his church, and so it still has validity for today. Many were baptized in the New Testament and all throughout church history. Some people feel that they were baptized already because they were baptized as an infant. Their parents, trying to be obedient to Christ and trying to show their Christian faith, they brought their baby, their infant, or maybe a toddler, and they had them baptized. That happened to me. I was raised in a United Methodist Church, and my mom had some Eastern Orthodox background to her, and so it was considered a faithful thing for parents to do. And it's good when parents want to do something good, bring their children to God. There's nothing wrong with that impulse. But always in the New Testament, when you see baptism, it's done for those who are old enough to believe, and they can express what their faith is. And so there was no infant baptism in the Bible. Infants were not baptized. They waited for them to be old enough to come to recognize, wow, I really am a sinner, and I'm not just going to say this because my parents are saying this. I want to believe. I want this to be my belief. And so infant baptism really doesn't qualify as a baptism. It is something that as someone grows older, they need to realize that's not really a baptism. You have to first believe, and then you're baptized. That order of first believe, then be baptized is there over and over and over again. I would probably bore you by looking up all the verses on that, but it's an intriguing study. You always see first belief, and then baptism. So we call that a believer's baptism. Parents can't believe for their kids, you know. Everyone has to stand on their own. So that's why sometimes people were baptized as a baby, but they realized, no, I need to be obedient to the Lord and get baptized. Now, if you're in that situation, don't be angry at me for saying that. I would love to study the Bible with you and show you those things so you can come to your own conclusion about that. We just do a lot of teaching here at Hope Bible Church to help folks understand that, and so they can come to that conviction and that conclusion all on their own as they see that, because it's very plain in God's Word. A couple more words here. Some are afraid to be baptized because it will offend their family's heritage. Like if I get baptized, maybe that will offend my parents because they already had me baptized. And I think you have to be very gentle and careful with that. We don't want to insult our parents. We do want to let them know we care very much for the things that they did for us when we were younger. But then it comes down to, do you obey God or do you follow family tradition? And you try to say as nicely and kindly as you can, you know, I'm so appreciative, Mom and Dad, for what you did, but I need to obey Jesus, and he told me to be baptized after I believe, and I want to show him publicly that I am a believer. I don't want it just to be me being a private believer. I want to go out there and be a public believer and tell everyone that I'm a true believer. And then there's some people, actually, this is not true of any of you guys here tonight. I don't know if that's true of any of folks listening, but some are embarrassed to be baptized. I mean, have to get your sandals on and, you know, those little white robes, and then to walk in front of everyone and be dunked in water. There's a little bit of an embarrassment factor there for some. It's a humbling thing. What do you mean my old life is no good and has to be done away with? Yeah, that's the point. You're standing in front of people and saying, I'm not good enough, and that's why I'm here. Jesus has to be good for me. And it was humbling for all the Jews that had to, who were called the people of God, and John the Baptist called them down into the water in front of everybody to be baptized there. It was a humbling thing. It wasn't a, you know, look at me, I'm being baptized. It was a humbling thing, a cleansing thing. And so God, that's what Jesus said. If you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you have to humble yourself like a child. You want to get in. You can't be proud. You can't be resistant. There's not going to be heaven for anyone like that. And then I guess the last thing to just reiterate and say is that baptism doesn't save you. You can go into the baptism waters and not really be a believer in your heart, and you can come out of the baptism waters exactly the same And unfortunately, there are a lot of people that look back on their life. They think they're safe because some pastor exaggerated what baptism could do for them. And now they come out feeling like they're safe, their sins are forgiven. Someone asks them, are you a Christian? And they say, yeah, I was baptized. But you can only become a Christian by faith, and they're going to testify to that. You can only become a Christian by faith in Jesus. The object of your faith has to be Jesus as the Son of God, his death, burial, and resurrection. But there are many, many, many millions of people through the years to conform to either a national law or a denomination that got water baptized, and it didn't help them at all. And we would say, God forbid that that would be true of anyone. They understand the importance of baptism, but not over-exaggerate its importance as if it can wash away sins or give you the Holy Spirit or any of the other things that people say that just are not in Scripture. They're not there. So I just wanted to say a few of those things to clear it up, and I don't know who's coming up next. Are you coming, Sean? Or okay, Bruce, you come up. Okay, just to give a little bit of background for our baptism service. Okay, Sean?
Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to open up in prayer just to continue the worship and the praise of praise and honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as I'm finished, Olivia, come up and share your testimony. Amen. Let's go before the throne. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the precious gift, Lord, of salvation that was offered through your Son, Christ Jesus, and the precious blood that was shed on Calvary. We know, Lord God, that we did nothing to deserve it, and we are continually doing nothing to deserve it, but it's by your grace. We thank you, Lord, for being such a loving and merciful God. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that all those who have come to celebrate this day would recognize that you are the one that is worthy to be honored and glorified. And Father, you are to be glorified for what you're doing in the lives of these individuals who are taking this step of obedience by being baptized this day, Lord, as you commanded. Lord, we pray that you will continually watch over your sheep, Lord God, and especially as they go out into the world. Father, we pray that not only that you would lead them and guide them by your Holy Spirit, but that you would sanctify them, that they would grow and mature in the faith, that they would be the salt and the light that you've commanded us to be in this world, so that those who they may come in contact would see the light and the presence of Christ in their lives and would pant like a deer after water and say, what must I do to be saved? And Father, we just pray that your wisdom would be on their heart and your mercy and your compassion would fill them, Lord God, but most of all, the knowledge of your word, that you would point them unto Christ so that they and their whole household might be saved. So, Father, we thank you once again for this time. We bless you and praise you for what you're doing in these believers' lives, Lord God, and look forward to you growing and maturing them in the faith. We lift this entire ceremony in the matchless name, in the precious name, in the powerful name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi, my name is Olivia Persing, and when I was young, I always thought I was saved, but I wasn't, and I didn't understand what it truly meant to be a Christian. And it was when I was around 8 or 9 that I understood that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Jesus had paid for my sin. And 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." And that was the start of my Christian walk. And I started to grow, but slowly. You know, I went to church, I memorized scripture, I read the Bible and did all the things that good little Christian kids are supposed to do. And yet, my personal time with God was often neglected. And in my recent years, two things have happened that really sparked my spiritual life. The first was a camp I went to called Jungle Jump Off. And it was a week-long experience that introduced teens to jungle missions by making them live in a simulated remote jungle community. And during that week, I got to talk to numerous missionaries and saw that they had a passion for God and for spreading his word. And it really made me question, do I love God that much that I would be willing to leave everything behind and risk all for the sake of the gospel? And that week not only made me see the need for missionaries, but also planted in me the desire to serve Christ. And the second event that had an impact on me happened a couple months later. And in the back of my mind, there always seemed to be something missing in my life. I could just never figure it out. And I came to realize that it was an intimate relationship with God. And I always thought thought of him as a king and a savior and someone that you follow and worship, but never someone who wanted to have a personal connection with me. And I came to realize that spending time with God is not something you check off your list. It's not a duty or an obligation. It's something that we're permitted to do, and that it's an extreme privilege that we can come before the God of the universe and pour everything at his feet. And I truly believe that Jesus is God's son, and that he came to earth and died and rose again to pay the price for all our sins, and that since I've accepted him, I can have a relationship with God and one day spend an eternity in heaven with him. And I'm now here to be baptized, to be obedient to Christ, who commanded that Christians should be baptized, and to also make a public profession that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Angie. I would like to tell you my story. I am growing up in a Christian home and have been surrounded by Christianity for all of my life. However, the Holy Spirit did not show me my sin and need for a Savior until later. To be perfectly honest, I do not know the date of when I was saved. I have prayed the prayer several times, even as a Christian, when Satan tempted me to doubt my salvation. However, my conversion probably occurred when I was 7 or 8, when I became concerned about my sin and need for a Savior. This is what I believe. God created us at the beginning of time. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Because he is our creator and Lord, we must follow his plan for our lives, to obey and live for him. But Adam and Eve, the first humans, wanted to live their own way. Because of their first sin of rebellion, our perfect world became a world full of sin. All people after them wanted to live a life of selfishness. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Because of our rebellion, we were separated from him, cutting off our opportunity to live with him forever. A life of sin and curse and eternal death was our sentence instead. However, God did not leave us in that miserable state. He sent his perfect son, Jesus, to take our sins upon him and die for them so that we could live. He bought our ticket to a relationship with him that we couldn't buy ourselves. But Jesus rose from the dead as well, conquering that old curse of sin and death. So how do we get this relationship with God and his promise of eternal life? The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All Jesus required me to do was ask, admit that I was a sinner and not able to save myself, believe that Jesus died and rose again to take my punishment and give me life in him, and ask him to be Lord so that I can be with him now and forever. I am being baptized to be obedient to Jesus Christ, my Lord. He wants us to be baptized as a sign that our old self died with him on the cross and was buried with him, and that our new self is raised in life. I am also excited to be involved in new ministries here at Hope and to give this testimony of my salvation to family and friends. I devote my life to the service of my King, no matter where that leads me. Thank you.
Olivia Ishii Persing, by the power and grace of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you've been born again, and because of the good profession you've made before these witnesses, your mother and I baptize you before by the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That was beautiful, right? Sing with me now then. Let's just, after each baptism, we're going to sing a verse of this next song just about how Christ is our solid rock. Amen? And may he be the solid rock that they build their lives on. So sing with me now.
Hi, I'm Danny Fife. If you know me, you might know my dad, Scott Fife, a.k.a. the janitor, and my mom, Martha Fife, and I have a younger brother, Jack. I grew up in a Christian home, and I don't remember a time in my life when I did not know Jesus. But I can remember times, though, through the years when my understanding of the Lord so did my faith. During Upwards basketball when I was younger, I decided that I wanted to live more for Christ. I've read a lot of books through homeschooling that have made me want to grow deeper in my faith. Even though I can't point to an exact moment of salvation, I have lots of memories when the Lord helped me and encouraged me. When I was young, I found out that I was dyslexic. It was very hard for me to learn to read when it seemed so easy for everyone else. I remember praying and the Lord helping me when I was struggling. My parents found tutors for me, and now I'm an avid reader. I know that the Lord did that for me. I understand that I am a sinner, and I know that I deserve nothing from God. But I believe Jesus loves me, and that he died on the cross for me, and that he has the power to save me. I've put trust in him, and I believe he will keep me until he takes me to heaven. Recently, on a weekend trip to Young Life Camp, this verse became very special to me, and I want to share it with you. Psalm 40:1-2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the muck and mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Thank you.
And Fife, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Meredith Cineo. Before I became a Christian, I was on the wrong path. I was following the world rather than focusing my eyes on Christ. When I was younger, I used to think that because I attended church, I was going to go to heaven. Later, I was reading the Bible and noticed this verse, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That verse really tugged at my heart, and when I was about 9 years old, I realized I was wrong and that I needed to truly accept Christ as my personal Savior. Throughout the next few years, I was changing and not following God like I needed to. I realize now that I was following the world. These last couple of years, I have been growing in my relationship with the Lord, and last year had the pleasure of going to North Carolina for a mission simulation for 1 week. It is amazing what God can do in 1 week. I felt like God was really speaking to me, and it was there that I truly accepted Jesus into my heart. I realized how much God really does love us and how he sent his Son to come and die for us just so we wouldn't have to go and live an eternity in hell. Since that moment, my life has been changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The other day, I was listening to the song Amazing Grace, and these words really touched me. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. God's Son came to save us, and I'm here now, obeying his command to be baptized." Thank you.
Of actually interviewing Meredith for her baptism, and when she shared with me about the important experience that she had with the jungle jump off, I was ready to ask her if they had one for adults. We underestimate the importance of our missionaries, but it'd be interesting to see what the Lord is going to do in this young believer's life, and maybe she may be called to the mission field. But nonetheless, we are grateful to the Lord for what he's doing in our life. Mary Faith Senior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. All around my sin is great, he then is all my hope and strength. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
I spent a lot of my youth searching for something. I was raised in kind of a Christian home in that my family believed in God and Jesus, but it was never really talked about, and we didn't go to church. After I joined the Army, I started going to lots of different services. They offered pagan, Catholic, Protestant, and Mormon on Sundays and Jewish on Fridays. I attended almost all of them at different times. The one that drew me in the most at that time was the Mormons. They had missionaries there ready to talk to anyone who wasn't already a member. I converted to Mormonism because at the time it seemed like a good choice. One day while I was working in the dialysis clinic for a rotation, one of the patients started talking to me. She had seen the Book of Mormon in my jacket pocket and started asking me questions. She had her Bible on her and showed me a verse which made me start questioning my chosen denomination. It was Revelations 22:18-19. "I warn everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share of the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." It still took me some time thinking and praying after that encounter, but the seed had been planted. I couldn't look at things the same way again. Many of the things they were teaching me started sounding wrong, from their denial of the Trinity to their beliefs on heaven and hell. Eventually, I decided I was done, and I could no longer ignore the fact that the Mormon church was not true. I prayed for Jesus to forgive my sin and enter my heart and help me. I started learning as much as I could about the true Jesus, who was different from the one they talked about, even though he shared the same name. I read the Bible with new eyes, and the words and stories came alive in a new way. While the Mormon religion had given me a false sense of peace and community, I now felt truth and power from the words that I read.
One of the things that I loved about Patricia's testimony is the fact that this believer was so sober and so alert that she saw that Patricia had the Book of Mormon in her coat pocket and was ready in that moment to share the gospel, to challenge her to know the one true God, the Holy One of Israel. So let that be a reminder to us that we should never underestimate the importance of the Lord choosing us amongst our family, amongst our friends, amongst our neighbors, co-workers, even strangers. Bless the Lord. Patricia Marie Patrick, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Right? Let's sing about when he comes back.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
My name is Marcus Ward. If you haven't met me, I'm Linda Moody and Michael Moody's son. I had a loving grandmother who always took us to church. I mean, we went every day. We went twice on Sundays. We went to summer camp at church, summer school at church. But all that did not make me a Christian. I thought I loved God in my way, but I realized I just loved myself. As I grew up, I started seeing things in a church that I did not like. I saw people who went to church but were not Christians, as was I, but I did not look at it like that at that time. I saw churches that just looked out for themselves. So I believed at that time that I would love God the way I wanted to love him, but I realize now that that was idolatry. I was in the world, but I always believed God had a plan for me. As time went along, I grew up, things got worse. I started doing things that I would not have done when I was younger and my grandmother was still around. I tried drugs, alcohol, but my biggest thing that I had to fight was my sexual immorality. After time, I started not even looking at it as sin, but as something that I just did. As I grew in my sin, things around me started changing. I'm a family person. I love my family. But because I was caught up in my sin, I missed out on a lot of important things in my family's life. Being there for my sister, missing my mother's wedding. You know, all this kind of reminds me of Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted by the stream of the waters, which yields fruit in its seasons. And its leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the wicked are not so, but they are like shafts that the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And the reason why I wrote that is because as I grew in my sin, I felt as if I was the wicked in this scripture. By the grace of God, through my parents, I was led to hope. As I came to hope and continued to hear the word of God, I started understanding to some degree where my life was. It was not until I was sitting around with my family and we were talking about Jesus that I really understood who I did not want to be. We were talking about how Jesus was a carpenter. And I said, Jesus is not a carpenter. I think at that moment I saw how little I knew of who I thought I believed in. From then on, I put my life in God's hand. Jesus has changed everything about me. I no longer struggle with drugs, alcohol, or sexual immorality. I'm a young Christian, but I love the Lord with all my heart. And that is why I'm here today, to do as the Lord has told us to do and get baptized, or be baptized. Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Challenged him in a very subtle way to not trust in his Christian experience or his church experience or what his grandmother may have done early in his life. And thanks be unto God that the Lord did not allow him to be deceived and to trust in his traditions or his church experiences as a child to think that that would qualify him to be saved. Marcus Eugene Moore, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Buried in his likeness. Raised again in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen. Stand with me, would you? Does our God save? Does our God save?
Yes.
Does our God save? Yes. Let's sing about that. Amen? You put your hands together, right? Joyful time of our offering. pray with me. Lord, you do save. You're a savior. Thank you for saving us, Lord, for intervening in our lives when we needed you most, even when we didn't know we needed you. Thank you for saving us, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for each person here, for your work in their life. We praise you. We recognize you tonight and your work in their lives. Thank you for each one of them and their precious lives as well. Amen.
Amen. And don't think the celebration is over just yet. We actually got some cake and some refreshments, and actually we'll have that in the foyer area in just about maybe about 10 minutes or so. But continue to keep the fellowship going, and let's continue to worship our Lord and celebrate what he's done in the lives of these new soldiers on the battlefield. And once again, thank you once again for joining us this evening, and to God be the glory.
Amen.